This is Chaos and Coffee with the Rock on of Podcasting, Charles McFall.
Yeah, that's right. I am the Rock God of Podcasting, Charles McFall. I'm here with some Chaos and Coffee. That is Mike Woodard, producer at large for Giant Size Team Up Network, and one of my great friends. He does amazing voiceover work. Check him out at Mike on the Mic, MikeAtTheMic.com. Let's try that. MikeAtTheMic.com if you'd like some great voiceover intro, blah, blah, blahs as well. Ha! Today is an interesting news day. There was an attack in Nice, France last night. And again, it's on the 24-hour news cycle, so it's one of those things I'm not going to touch, but I do acknowledge it. It's sad. I almost covered it, but I just don't know what to say about it. I've seen some misguided people post about, it hasn't come out yet, but we know what's going to come out about why he's a terrorist, insinuating it's going to be some kind of Muslim attack. And maybe it does have something to do with ISIS. Maybe it doesn't. We don't know yet. But what they said following that was, the government's going to keep their head in the sand. You get out there and protect your own. What does that mean, man? This dude drove a truck through a massive audience at a holiday event. I mean, it was so large because a lot of people got out of the way. It's so large. The audience was so large. 202 people are injured from the truck. Now, there were shots fired, things happened. There might be a few people shot, but from what I understand, most of the damage is done from the truck. What are you supposed to do with that? How do you protect your own? That makes no sense. So people, the only thing I want to say about that right now is please, please keep your heads on about you. Please ask yourself real steps, why, how, what. And you know what? Let's nix the fear. Okay, let's stop the fear. I understand we live in dangerous times. Are they more dangerous than any other time in the world? No, they are not. The reason we are more afraid than any other time in the history of the world is because we can know more about what's going on. Instantly, we get cell phone videos. We see social media. The news is all over this stuff very quickly. So let's just kind of put the fear down for a minute and stop. Stop prejudging things and tell me how you're going to protect your own from a guy in a moving truck when you're in the middle of a massive crowd. Hey, just stop. Let's stop the hate speech. Let's stop the fear mongering. I've got an article I'm going to read today because it actually shows a better way to write articles about bad situations. I've actually got, I got five possible headlines today. Let's see. The rest of these are actually, I don't think I'm going to do the Pokemon one. Of course, Pokemon Go being the biggest game in the world right now, it's got a lot of stuff going on with it and lots of great coverage, some negative coverage. But this story was about Spring Grove Cemetery, and that's something I've noticed driving around as well. Here are just the highlights, okay? Is every once in a while, Pokestop will be in a cemetery, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not really going to go in. But I understand kind of why they do it. Because the whole general idea, and I believe this has to do with computer algorithms, finding statues, finding places of public interest and artwork and history. And I understand that you don't really need to go Pokemon catching at the Holocaust Museum, right? But I look at a graveyard and I'm like, I guess it's okay because people do go in, do rubbings off of gravestones all the time, but they're respectful. Hopefully you're respectful. And in the area near me, the graveyard has some really ornate and very, very old headstones. I mean, this is basically a statue of a granite cross or a concrete. I'm not sure what material it is, but stone cross, and it's etched really well. And that's what they picked to be a Pokestop. And I get that because it is public access. It's a public graveyard. They're honestly for respect for family, it's a sad time, but if you step back and take a look, a lot of graveyards are just beautiful. I mean, they have some really ornate and some really great sculptures and artwork and things in them, but you have to be respectful. And that's what that story talked about. So we're going to nix that story today. We're not going to do that one as a whole story. Let's jump into, let's talk about the police shootings, okay? So this one's a little bit different. This is on MSN.com. Now, here's the thing. The headline reads, body camera footage released in police shooting of Dylan Noble. Now, here's why originally this was important. It's a white guy. It's a white person killed by police officers, and very, very little news was made about it. There's no uproar. There's no this. And I thought about taking that angle, but I'd rather be inclusive. I want to bring people together. I want us to understand it's not about our skin. There's not a hunt on by one race against the other. There is, however, an epidemic of fear going on. There is an epidemic of us against them going on with the police officers, honestly feeling scared for their lives a little bit. Black people, obviously feeling scared for their lives. I could talk about universalism. I could talk about The Secret. And you know what? I will for just a second. When all we do is focus on white cops killing black people, when we focus on that, it's a principle of law of attraction. More of that's going to happen. Because it's not about what we want. It's about what we focus on. And when you're driving your car, this is the thing. When I was 16 years old and nobody, or in the general public, I guess, nobody had ever heard of the law of attraction and The Secret, they still taught me this principle. If you're driving your car and you look off to the, let's say, the right side of the road in the U.S., which is where the off-road part would be, the left side of the road would be where oncoming cars are, right? That's how we drive in the U.S. And you stare at something on the right side of the road, you will drift towards it. That's how your body and your mind work. You don't do it intentionally, and you have to train yourself to be able to look at something and keep driving straight. And what they teach you is stop looking at things. You know, if you fixate on it, if you stare at it, you will run into it. That's what I feel like is going on with police officers and shootings of victims right now, is the fear level is getting so high across the nation. The tensions are rising so much across the nation. We have fear mongering in the media. You know, when the Dallas shooting happened, man, it was any explosive word you could use: assassination, ambush, snipers. While these are technically, some of these are true words, the way you use it incites fear, incites anger, incites chaos. And we have that, and that's a downside. I like knowing that this stuff happens because we need to know it happens so we can fix it. No hiding things under the rug. No letting people walk. You know, I need to go back and find out about one of the big controversies when I first started podcasting was a BART station shooting, Bay Area Rapid Transport. Okay? And it was a young white new cop to the beat, and he thought he grabbed his taser, and he ended up shooting a handcuffed black suspect in his back twice. He almost shot the cop that was on top of him, who was holding him down. And there's video. This is in the early days of cell phone video, and it was bad. But what happened there, from what I understand, I followed it for the most part. I need to go back and follow up how it happened. He ended up getting indicted. He fled the area. They had to bring him back. They put him on trial. I believe he's found guilty of killing. I don't know. I don't think it was murder. I think it was probably manslaughter or neglect, homicide, or something like that. Because I think he was eager and fearful and stupid and did the wrong thing. And that needs to be punished. But what should have happened? I don't know what happened. And I don't think we'll be able to find out what happened because the news doesn't care anymore. They cared that the guy died and the cop shot him. And then they move on. No, we need to follow up. We need to find out what happened. We need to know that the cops, I don't know if they are the, I'm assuming they're an official police department because usually they are, but sometimes public transportation has their own law enforcement, their own enforcement there. It doesn't matter who it was. We need to find out. Did they then start teaching new ways to calm yourself down? Did they then start teaching new policies? Did they then change the environment and the energy in the department so that no longer are we afraid and lean towards violence instantly, but have different ways of doing it? And we don't know. I don't know. But this story about Dylan Noble, he was a 19-year-old California man. This was in Fresno. Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer has said Dylan Noble did not follow orders and reached quickly into his waistband twice when approached by two veteran officers responding to a report of a man carrying a rifle on June 25th. Of course, they've been sued, as you will, in any shooting. That doesn't mean the suit's wrong or right. It just happens. And they're like, oh, there's excessive force. Well, here's the thing. Nobody questioned the first two shots where he fell, okay? Because the guy talked about he hates his life. He was walking. They clearly, the on the Body cams are clearly saying, if you walk forward, you'll be shot. Get on the ground. They use swear words, of course, and that's, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just not going to talk about it here. But they're telling him, they're giving him commands. They issued 30 different commands that he did not obey after they pulled him over. And but here's the thing. This is what I want to talk about, is the language used in this article. It's very calming. It's just very factual. Noble's family has filed a claim against the city, is one paragraph. The Fresno Police Department released body camera footage from the two officers, blah, 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 another paragraph. It's very calm energy to this. I don't know what race officers were. It doesn't seem to say here. I probably could find it. But then the only reason this is, I feel like the only reason this is written about is because there is some part of a possible, what is it here? Dang it. I'm all over the place. Excessive force is the word I'm looking for, because they shot him a couple more times on the ground. However, here's the interesting thing about police and suspected criminals, suspects. Okay. Even after they're shot, this is what I learned as a paramedic responding to some of these calls. Even after they're shot and they may be dead, they're going to get handcuffed. Even after they're shot and they're not obviously dead, they're given commands. And if they're still moving and still doing so, whether it's an involuntary response or not, they will continue to add that level of force, because you can be tricked. Because you can be tricked, because you don't know. So, unfortunately, the law punishes. That's what it does. So, anytime I'm talking about justified shooting right here. Anytime, let's say they had a suspect with a gun, he points it at the cops, and they shoot him, he may be obviously dead. I mean, obviously dead. Three holes, center mass over the heart, not breathing, no pulse. They will handcuff him, because that is procedure. Because what happens if they're wrong? Police officers might have some training in first aid. They might have some training in how to manage health, but they're no paramedics, just like I'm no cop. You know, my job is to take care of their life. Your job is to enforce the law. So therefore they do. This story is not necessarily worth talking about in general, because this reads from this article, it reads like it's a cut and dry shooting. He didn't do what he was told. They're saying, get your hands out. We cannot see your hands. He walked towards them intentionally with one hand hidden behind his back. He sounds like he somewhat made a lot of bad decisions, but he somewhat chose to commit suicide by officer. Okay. And even when he's on the ground, I haven't seen the footage. The footage is not important to why I'm talking about this story right now, but you can go find it and see it. That's honestly why I love video cameras now. It's not your story against theirs. It's not your story against witnesses, or it's not your story against nothing because nobody saw you. It's the video of what happened. I don't know how easy it is to manipulate those videos. I know in this particular case, there was a bystander with a cell phone. What I'm saying is, tell the story. Give us the facts. Use calming words, and we can come to the table and talk about this. But when all you want to do is talk about the things that incite fear, we're going to get more fear, and we need to stop. We need to stop the fear. That should be your hashtag. That should be everybody's hashtag. Hashtag stop the fear. Because when we focus on stopping the fear, which comes with education, which comes with communication, which comes it comes with police officers put their life on the line. And I think most officers don't really understand the gravity of that when they sign up. They sign up to protect and serve, or they sign up to be a hero. For whatever various reasons they sign up to be an officer, they sign up. And part of that job is, you have to take the bullet before somebody else does. That's part of the job, and that sucks, but that's there. I don't think they understand the gravity of that decision, thinking maybe it won't happen to me. But too often we have, not me, it's not going to happen to me, and you have that fear kick in. And I'm not saying this case. I'm saying this case of the article by the New York Daily News, which is found on MSN, is written very well. And this is how news should be reported, citing other sources like the Los Angeles Times and using the bystanders' videos. This is how we should talk about things. So we can say, hey, do the Fresno police need more education? Do they need more standards? Do they need something better to give their police officers peace of mind, their community peace of mind to work together? You know, I don't know. But it is an us against them mentality when it comes to, and I'm sorry, but that's truth. It's an us against them mentality a lot of times when it comes to the public and the police officers. Take whatever side you're going to take, it's still us against them. That's all I'm going to say on that topic today. We've got some stuff on Microsoft. We've got some marriage news, and we've got those idiot Duggars coming up if I get to it. So, hey, quick word from our sponsor, and I'll be right back with some more chaos and coffee. And I am back. Hey, check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Oh, yeah, baby. Coffee, man, turns me into Barry White. Love my coffee. I drink out of my cup of power, which is a 22-ounce soup bowl, essentially, with a handle. It's beautiful. Got it at Linens and Things when Linens and Things was actually a thing and it existed. And I do. I love the colors. I love the size of it. My brand of coffee is Starbucks. You know, I could tell you about how to save money and do it at home, which is what I do. But that's not what the show is all about. Let's move on with some headlines. Microsoft just won a big privacy fight with the government, and here's what that means. Now, over the past, this is from, actually, before I get ahead of myself, the Washington Post posted this by Henry Farrell, who is a decent writer as well. Over the past couple of years, the U.S. government and Microsoft have been fighting a legal battle over whether Microsoft has to provide customers email that is stored on company servers located in Ireland. On Thursday, a federal appeals court ruled against the government, saying Microsoft was under no legal obligation to provide the data. Oh, this is good news. I mean, I have nothing to worry about, but I'm talking about government, man. You have to have these cases, right? Because this is new stuff. You have to establish precedents. And fortunately, it feels like we established the correct one. The government just doesn't get everything. It doesn't work that way. It should never work that way. And fortunately, our court system agreed. The case has been very closely watched as it has very important implications for how the U.S. legal system deals with a world where data moves easily across borders. Jennifer Descal is an assistant professor at American University's Washington College of Law. I asked her to explain the issues at stake, and it's an interview here, but I'm going to kind of scan through it. Why did the court rule this way? And Jennifer responds, the question before the court was whether the government could compel via warrant the production of emails that were held by Microsoft in a data center in Ireland. This required an evaluation of the 30-year-old Electronic Communication Privacy Act, 30 years old, written when the internet was still in its infancy. We have to make updates, man. Our technology advances by leaps and bounds every year, if not every 6 months. And yet we're using 30-year-old laws to govern it. You got to update this stuff just as fast as the technology does. So they were going back to the article to determine whether Congress intended for the relevant warrant authority to reach data held outside of United States borders. It turns out that Congress didn't even contemplate, let alone intend, that possibility, relying in large on part in the presumption against extraterritoriality. The Second Circuit ruled in favor of Microsoft, included blah, 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 blah. So you should go read this article. It's a really, really good interview. It explains in depth about what we should understand about the laws. But what this says is, just by fact that the government said, yeah, give it to us, nope, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And hopefully lawmakers will look at revamping these laws, not in favor of the government, but to reflect this kind of thing. I think Apple, Microsoft, all these other large internet companies, Google, yeah, a lot of these internet companies, I think when it comes down to true danger to the public, they want to help. They want to keep us safe. We're their customer base. They want to keep us safe and alive. They want to help. But when the government comes in, it doesn't provide a good case. It doesn't say, Charles McFall is out there and we've got this evidence, this evidence, this evidence, this evidence. And we really need to see his interactions be it GPS, his emails, whatever they're asking for. You have to make that case just like a judge, just like for a judge. And they don't now. They just go, nope, we're the government. You're Apple. You'll give us the info. And luckily, Apple fought back. Luckily, Microsoft fought back. I believe Google's fighting back on those kind of things. And what only thing that bothers me about this case is it's specific to Ireland. Now, the caption under the picture says, U.S. government lost its court battle Thursday to force Microsoft to hand over data from a foreign server. However, in all of the writing about it, it says Ireland specifically. That's problematic because then do we have to go country by country where servers are and say, no, you can't have that stuff? Or are there going to be different rules for different countries? Or are we going to say, just in general, this data is private? And while, yes, there can be some life-saving information gleaned from it, I think you should have to make the case just like you do for a judge to get a warrant. Make the case to Apple, sorry. Make the case to Apple. Make the case to Google, like I just illustrated. And then they decide. And if they decide no, then you go to check the laws to see if you can compel them anyway. And there should be times when certain circumstances, just like getting a warrant to go into somebody's house, just like getting a search warrant, just like getting an arrest warrant, there should be certain criteria that once you prove it, you get it. That's I can agree with that. That's a compromise because the government wants us just to hand over everything. I think the corporations just want us to hold back everything. I know there's a lot of citizens who want to be 100% private no matter what. I don't think that's realistic, in my opinion. All right, on to other news. First off, though, you can find this show over at facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. And we are now on the Satchel Player. Satchel Player app, check it out in the iOS store and your Android store. And it might even be on the Amazon store. Satchel Player is a great new player. And they don't sponsor my show. What they do is they give me tools. And I love their interface. I love how gorgeous it is. And right there in the app, there's three major things you can do. One, you can hit a local search and find any podcast that is made around you or about the area you're in. And that is awesome. So if you're in the Atlanta area, guess what? You can hit local search. You'll find Chaos and Coffee. That's awesome. I haven't seen any other app do that. Secondly, right in the middle of my show, you're listening to Chaos and Coffee. You like what I said or you hated what I said. You can Twitter me at RockGotAPod. Right there, you hit the Twitter button. I'm already registered with the app. My Twitter handle is already there, and you'll message me while you listen to the show, or you'll share out your great points about what I said or your arguments, and that's awesome. Great interactivity there. I will see it. I will love it, or I'll argue with you about it, but I love that you're able to do it. I love that. Thirdly, if you like that I'm covering the news, if you like my opinions, if I said something that resonates with you, man, or woman, or awesome person listening, hit donate. You can donate straight to my PayPal account, and it would really be helpful, and I would thank you for it forever. So check out Satchel Player. Listen to Chaos and Coffee through the Satchel Player, and it'll help us out greatly. I love it. All right, here we go. And Kentucky. I know last Friday at Podcast Movement, I covered a Kentucky story, and this was not intentional, just as the news. This is from patheos.com, P-A-T-H-E-O-S. It's the progressive secular humanist story. But you'll find out why I find it important. Kentucky judge refuses to marry atheists. A county judge in Kentucky refuses to marry atheists. Now, I believe Kentucky is very progressive. Maybe not very progressive, but I believe that they have joined the United States in embracing that gays can be married, that basically everybody can get married, and especially from the government standpoint, all people are created equal. I believe that's where Kentucky stands. This is a one-off here, but it needs to be pointed out. So this is a poorly written article in the fact that they really try to get you on their side with using words like egregious. And, well, it's really not egregious. It is a violation of the U.S. Constitution. It is a violation of the laws in the place of the United States government. And he's not doing his job. But egregious would be letting a murderer walk free because reasons. You know, egregious would be throwing homosexuals in jail for sodomy, even though everything legally has been made legal for them to have their relationships. That would be egregious. This guy just said he wouldn't marry an atheist couple. It doesn't say if they're gay or straight. As far as I know, I scanned through this and read the important parts in the quotes. I don't know. I'm assuming the couple is straight because of the way this guy responded. So they're just atheists. But anyway, in a violation of U.S. Constitution, Trigg County Judge Hollis Alexander refused to marry a couple because they were atheists requesting a secular ceremony. According to a report filed by Friendly Atheist, Judge Alexander, that's an organization or something, I'm not sure. Judge Alexander refused to marry Mandy Heath and her fiancé because they are both non-religious and they didn't want any mention of God in their secular marriage ceremony. Again, don't know if it's a straight or gay couple, but follow me here with what he says. I believe either they're gay and he's trying to find a loophole and getting out of it, which is not legal. You're not doing your job. Or they're straight and he's just an asshat who's still not legal. Okay, when Mandy Heath went to file the necessary paperwork at the local courthouse on the day before the wedding, Judge Alexander explained that he would not perform the legal ceremony because of his sincerely held religious beliefs. In attempting to justify why he was refusing to perform his legal duty and honor request for a simple secular wedding, Judge Alexander declared, and this is a quote, "I'll be unable to perform your wedding ceremony. I include God in my ceremonies, and I won't do one without." You're a judge, not a preacher. You're supposed to be able to go to the courthouse. Do you? Yes. Do you? Yes. Done. Right? Whatever your vows are, maybe it's supposed to be simple. It's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be just done, you know, and honestly, I'm going to give some wiggle room here. I'm going to throw a little bit more chaos in your coffee. Let me hit some more coffee. Hold on. But I'm going to throw a little bit more chaos into your coffee here and play devil's advocate or play angel's advocate, I guess, in this case. It depends on how the rules are written in that county in Kentucky. Okay. I believe fully that courthouses should not have religious anything in them. You're supposed to be as much as a human being can be, because we do have our biases. We do have our judgments, our histories. Okay. But as much as human beings can be, you're supposed to be unbiased. You're supposed to say, what does the law say? And I'm going to interpret the law in your situation. We tend to think that's just for criminal acts or lawsuits. But seriously, I believe it's really all government. The county clerk cannot legally say to gay people, you can't get married. They have to issue the license with some minor stipulations, right? There has to be a blood test for everybody. At least when I get married, I think there was a blood test and make sure you're not related and this and that and the other. Those are safety issues. You know, you shouldn't be marrying your sister. The gene pool gets warped, man. That's bad. And I'm not saying that about Kentucky. I'm saying about in general, okay? But if I understand it right, in general, for all counties, all states, all governments, the judge's job partially is to fulfill this role and do, I guess they call them civil unions, marriages. When a courthouse does it, I don't know if that's a different term than when a church does it, okay? But legally, it's the same thing, right? It's a marriage. You have all the same rights. From my understanding, you go, you pay your fee, you follow the guidelines that they give you, and then the judge has to do it. That'd be like saying somebody at McDonald's, a manager at McDonald's, like, you know what? No, we're not going to give you that hamburger because you want it without ketchup, and man, you just have to have ketchup on it. Or, you know, I'm not going to give you this hamburger because you are an animal lover, and we obviously kill animals, so we're just not going to give you. I don't know. I can't come up with a good, real good thing, but you realize how ridiculous this is. So this is from the Freedom From Religious Foundation, which again, I mean, when you fight against something, you're just focusing on it. But this is their report explaining why Judge Alexander is wrong. By refusing to provide secular ceremonies, Trigg County, because he is a representative of the county, Trigg County sends a message of religious endorsement. However, according to the Constitution, it is illegal to condition a government benefit on a religious test. by conditioning the receipt of a marriage license from Trigg County, which is not exactly what they're doing. He's just saying he won't perform the ceremony. So that wording is incorrect, I think. They're not saying you can't get a license. They're saying that judge won't do it, won't marry him. But by conditioning the receipt of a marriage license from Trigg County on an agreement to have a religious ceremony, the county is violating the rights of non-religious couples to equal access to government benefits. And I, wording aside, because I do believe, as I said, that they're, again, trying to hype up their audience and get them into a negative mindset against this situation, because that's not what they're doing. But I do agree with the rest of it. You are saying, well, in order to have this government benefit that you're supposed to be allowed to have, in order to do that, you are required now to have me say God in your ceremony. If you don't want that, tough. That's not acceptable. That's it's incorrect. And according to this article, Judge Alexander has a constitutional obligation to remain neutral on religious matters and has no right to impose his religious beliefs on people seeking to be married. And I agree with that statement. If I go to the government, I want you to abide by the law, not by your religious or non-religious beliefs. You know, I don't know. That's it. I'm out of time. I could go on. I'm going to leave it here. You know, I'm not going to get to the Duggars, but what I can say about that is stay the hell away from them. They are media whores. They will do anything they can to get attention and money. And this whole molester deal, they're not just blowing it over and covering it up as they try to make it quiet. They're actually going to exploit it now. And that's sickening, and that's crap. So stay away from the Duggars and stay away from any TV channel that will freaking support them, because it's just that's God, man, that is pushing your beliefs and idiocracy on the world in such a horrible way. And that is my official stance on it. So until then, this has been the Friday edition of Chaos and Coffee. Come back Monday. I'll have some more news. You can find me on blogtalkradio.com/chaosandcoffee. As I mentioned, the Satchel Player at RockGotAPod on Twitter and facebook.com/chaosandcoffee. And then you can follow me personally, /RockGotOfPodcasting. I'll be back Monday with more news.